Amen. Thank you, Sister Jones, for that scripture on tonight. Amen. Amen. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. We love the Lord tonight. Praise him for blessing us to be back in this house on another Tuesday Bible class tonight. Thank God for you that have made it out, and we give God glory and praise for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he's going to do. Amen. God never stops doing things for us. I think there's a song that says he keeps doing great things for me. I don't know about you, but every day his mercies are renewed. And amen. Another thing that, amen, that I needed, he provided. And I have no reason to complain because of what he has done. He's been truly my friend and my healer and my strength and my, most of all, my salvation. He's the Lord of my salvation. Yes, he is. He woke me up this morning, started me on my way. He did the same thing for all of us. And we're certainly highly blessed and favored on tonight. Amen. We're going to continue a series we started a few weeks ago. I think it started around the 23rd of January, but we starting on that topic, marriage versus divorce. Marriage versus divorce. And we have talked about, you know, what man has said about it and what some of the statistics are. But we also, last week, went to the scriptures and found out what the Lord said about it. You know, when we left off last night, we talked about when the Pharisees came to him, his critics came to him, wanted to know, you know, about divorce. And he said, well, they told him, well, you know, Moses gave them, I'm paraphrasing this, but he gave them a bill of divorce and said, you can get divorced. Well, God said, yes, I know he did, but he did that because of the hardness of your heart. But it was not so from the beginning. God has said in his word more than one time, whatsoever God has joined together, let no man put asunder. But we know that that is not in keeping with what men are doing. And whenever you undo things that God put together, it won't work out too good. I mean, just briefly, we talked at the beginning of our lesson, we talked about the statistics on first divorce, second divorce, and surveys have shown that those who get the first divorce and remarry is a higher percentage of those folks divorced, so it didn't work out either way. But I said from the beginning, I don't care what the statistics say. In God's plan, in God's statistic, one divorce is too many. So, but it is what it is, and we have to recognize that. So tonight, we've gone through Old and New Testaments. I'm not going to go back over all of those again. It's going to be on our website. Part of it will be anyway, so you can go in and listen to it again at www.christtempleofparis.com. Okay, so we're gonna skip over here, see if we can find what I'm looking for here now. Okay, I think I won't. Okay, we're going to go back and look at statistics again, or not statistics, but from experts, so-called experts, that has to do with marriage and divorce. And they talk about 9 psychological tests for a good marriage. What they're saying, you know, whether you're church folks or non-church folks, you know, they believe, and I don't disagree, I agree, but you don't have to disagree, agree, but it's just what the experts have said, that there's 9, at least 9, probably more. Oh, we'll get back up here. There are 9 statistical, 9 psychological tests for a good marriage. Okay, now you can agree or disagree, but this is just for informational purposes only. Amen. No one has all the answers, but certainly this is a guideline to people. If you're talking to somebody about marriage and they want to get married, some of these things you might want to bring up to them, that if you want the marriage to be good, here's some of the things you need to do. So it's good to know these things. Okay. Number one, separate emotionally from the family you grew up in. Not to the point of estrangement, just, you know, but enough do that your identity is separate from that of your parents and siblings. And that's what he's saying. When you get married, you have your own house, stay in your own house. I mean, it's just that simple. You know, there's no reason when you're married and you're at home with your wife and you go down to your parents' house every day. That's what you did when you lived there. So that's why they say emotionally, if you want a marriage to succeed, you sort of break those ties, the emotional ties you have with your family. You still love them, but you can't hang around with them. You got a wife to hang out with. So it's the same thing for the husband or the wife. She can't be going down to mom every day. You know, you got to cut the, I guess you call it cutting the apron strings. But sometimes people want to hang out where they used to live. You don't live there no more. You got your own house. Stay in your own house. Stay with your own wife. Kids come along. You know, so, but if you don't do these kinds of things, then sometimes that brings about conflict between your spouse and your in-laws. You know, they say, what do you keep going there in your mom and dad's house for? Don't you know you got stuff around? It starts those kinds of conversations that you don't need. Don't do things that's going to make your marriage bad. You don't live at your parents' house no more. You and your wife got your own house. Stay in your own house. Eat your own food. Don't come and say, what you cooking tonight? Can we come over? No, you stay in your, cook your own food. But some people find it very difficult to cut those ties. But he says a good thing is to separate emotionally from your family you grew up in. Not to the point that an estrangement, not that you're just going to cut them off altogether. Not to that point, but what they're trying to say, don't spend most of your time down at your parents' house because you no longer live there. And don't hang out with the brothers and sisters. Yeah, let's go bowling tonight. Well, no, you bowl at home. You know, but these things happen. Of course, again, you bring about that conflict between you and your spouse because of you're so used to you and your sister, you and your brother going doing things when you are not married. And sometimes it's hard for those folks to cut that stuff off. But you have to. They're saying to us, these are 9 things we think you ought to do if you want your marriage to really succeed. Okay, then number 2 is build togetherness based on a shared intimacy and identity, while at the same time set boundaries to protect each partner's autonomy. You know, autonomy means let that person be themselves. You can't make your wife, or you can't make your husband who you want him to be. You know, there's something about letting you be you means a lot. And never gonna compare your wife with your sister, your brother, compare your husband with a brother. You know, that's not gonna work. No, build your own togetherness on shared intimacy and identity. You have each one of you have your own identity, and recognize that, and set boundaries to protect each partner's autonomy or their right to be who they are, not who you want them to be. And that's what happens a lot of times. You know, sometimes when we get married, as we're going into marriage, you know, we want your wife to be certain, your husband want the wife want the husband to be this, be that. Well, I mean, that's nothing wrong with that. But just because they're not what you want them to be, you keep working on it. Don't make that an issue. If you do it right, you know, eventually you both are just meshed together. But when you come want to be a strong-willed person, just want to make that person like the one you saw on TV, you know, that strong, you know, looking, you know, he's rich and look at that fur he bought him, his wife. You can't compare that. Let them be themselves if you want the marriage to last. But all of these little things that come up, you know, most of the stuff, it comes up because we caused them. You know, as I said earlier, and Bishop Ford, when he does a marriage ceremony, he always says, most marriages break up not because of blowouts, but because of slow leaks. So the little things you don't pay attention to, those are the things that, because the little things, that's why it can become a big thing. May not seem like a big thing at the time, but down the road it'll wear on you. So, you know, just let you be, let your wife be her, let your husband be him. You know, I mean, to some extent, I'm not talking when you're going hog wild crazy, you know, but because let's face it, before a person got married, they knew, they had seen something about that person that he's doing or she's doing that, but they said nothing about it. They were so blinded by love, it didn't make no difference. and let's face it. I mean, just face it, you know. But now you settle in, then you begin to pick up on those things. You see, you were so much in love, you were blinded by it, no matter what they, you know. So you got to guard against those things. Amen. after the dust settles, when the honeymoon is over. Amen. You're right. Exactly. Okay. Number three, build a rich and pleasurable sexual relationship and protect it from the intrusion of the workplace and family obligations. Okay. Got to get together. And don't let the workplace intrude on your sexual relationship, because sometimes on your job, you know, look at what's going on right now with all of these people that are married and all these allegations come upon them. My goodness, what are they doing at the workplace? You can't let your workplace or that woman that's passing by your desk every day, or the man passing by your desk, you can't get involved in that. Because on a job, there are women who flirt, there are men who flirt. Amen. You know, you're supposed to be a woman enough, a man enough to detect flirtation. And the fact that you had said, I do, got a ring on your finger, says I'm already spoken for. Dr. Persley. It's been recorded, so I probably won't. Yeah, but there. Okay, what he basically said is, you know, somebody he knew on a job and the flirtation type thing came up, and from his own observation, he pretty much decided this is what's going to happen. And it ended up happening just the way he said, because you can tell when people are in a flirtatious attitude and you see the reaction of them, you know, you know, it's just like when you see a little fire in a brush, he said, I better put this fire out before it gets out of hand. But if you don't, let it just spark a little bit, and pretty soon, poof, it's gone. It's the same thing. You just can't do that. So what they say, build a relationship and protect it from intrusion of the workplace. Don't let the workplace or family obligations come into your moment of intimacy, you know. Call you, say, what you doing? They ain't on your business. You know, folks call you in an inopportune time, you know. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye. Amen. Okay, now, number four. Again, we're talking about nine things that makes for a good marriage. For couples with children, embrace the daunting role of parenthood and absorb the impact of the baby's interest into the marriage. Know that? You know that? Because, you know, that's a big thing, because, you know, and sometimes when there's a baby into the family now, you know, there's a case really where sometimes the husband gets jealous of the wife because she spends so much time with the baby. My goodness, you ought to be, that ought to make you happy. But, you know, And that's one of the things that causes people to get divorced. They get conflict because children are coming to you. You know that when you're married, you're probably gonna have children. So, you know, but so they said, don't let these kinds of things come into your relationship, because if you do, it's gonna cause unbelievable problem. But embrace it. So I think he said embrace the fact. Embrace it. Look forward to it. Absorb it. Be glad that we have that loving mother-daughter-son relationship with little baby, and or vice versa. Sometimes the husband pays a lot of attention to the baby, and the wife says, you ain't paying no attention to me. It works both ways, and it should not be. But these are the things. Then when you're telling folks about marriage, then since you've been married a long time, you'd be advising younger people, you know, when children come into the relationship, you know, don't let these things interfere with you. It ought to strengthen your relationship, really, rather than tear it away. But the enemy uses that, amen, to bring forth a division. Give us Sister Jones the mic, please. Recording. Talk to the mic, please.
In that scenario.
Is it on? Go ahead.
Where we're talking about a couple and a new baby comes. Very often, there is a problem when the new baby is allowed to sleep in the bed with the parents for too long a period of time. I can see maybe early on, but the longer they're there in that bed, the more problems are likely to occur with regard to the sexual relationship between the wife and the husband.
That's an excellent point. Amen. You know, that comes a time, and it's okay for a little bitty thing, you're sleeping in the bed with your parents, but amen, when the baby is born by a crib, one of the first things you buy is a crib. Even if you got to put it in your room, you know, because baby sleeping between you and your husband for a little while is okay, but don't let that become a long-term thing. If you do, it's going to cause problems. That is an excellent point. It causes a lot of conflict, and it's just reality. So nothing wrong with baby gonna sleep, put the baby to sleep in the crib in your same room, and at a point, you gotta move the baby out of that room. That's it. You gotta know when to do that. Baby sleep in their own room. And sometimes people have kids 2 or 3 years old want to get in bed with mom and dad. No, you know, 2 or 3 year old climbing in bed with mom and dad. No, but that's a good point. Thanks, Sister Jones. Learn to continue the work of protecting the privacy of your spouse as a couple. You can't tell your sister all your business about what you and your husband are doing, or you can't tell your brother about all the stuff. Why would I go talk to my brother about what's going on between me and my wife? Why should a wife go and tell her sister all this stuff going on in your household? Or don't tell your best friend. Because best friend, you keep telling them, after a while, they're going to have your husband. Some people pick stuff out of you. But people do those kinds of things. No, it's their privacy. What goes on between you and your wife, you and your husband, is a private matter. You just can't go blurting out, no matter how bad you feel. Yeah, people will take the information you gave them and use it against you. So they said, you got to work on it. Work on it, Deacon Smith.
I've seen a lot of that happen. This couple, and they were listening to he say, she say, and then vice versa. Next thing they know, they were divorced. Yep. And the one who was causing the problem, they wind up with him.
Absolutely.
And they got tired of him. They pushed on. She was passing the buck along. I said, oh, Lord.
Amen. That's why you got to guard against them. Your privacy is important, because, as the deacon said, sometimes they use it against you and put you at a disadvantage. So keep that in mind. So protect your privacy. Number five, confront and master the inevitable crisis of life. Confront, master, or take care, or work through the inevitable thing that's definitely going to happen. It's inevitable. You know, all of us, I don't care how much we love each other, what we promise each other, there is going to come a crisis in your marriage. I mean, no matter, I don't know what it's going to be. It could be anything. It could be over how the husband treats the wife, or how the husband treats the kid, how the wife treats the kid. You know, all kinds of things. It could be that what we're dealing with now, where there's a physical abuse in a marriage. And there is absolutely, absolutely zero tolerance, as far as I'm concerned, when a man hits a woman. Now, he needs to be, well, if I wasn't saved, I said boiling oil. But you seeing these super strong athletes beating up on their wives, dragging them. That young man that was a super football player, making millions of dollars. You remember, he knocked his wife out in the elevator and drug her out. Now nobody will. No, I don't care how good he is. They say, we don't want you. Your talent is making the difference. You're a wife abuser. We can't have anybody that represents us with that kind of mentality. He'd not be able to hook up with anybody yet. And his days are dwindling away where he can never play football again. But they're multiple millions of dollars. But there was no excuse for that. None whatsoever. But whatever the crisis is, you say learn how to work through them. Work out them. Don't let the first little thing come up that gets you so upset that you first run to a divorce lawyer, and some people do, without any trying to work things out. Now, I can't give you A, B, C, D, D, E, F, G, H about this. How if you do this, blood, I wouldn't. I'd be gone like this. But I think no matter what happens, because what happens a lot of times, and when the devil brings into your mind divorce, we react at the moment. We make decisions at the moment without giving it any thought. You can get so boiled up and boiled and mad and just all kinds of bad thoughts are running through your mind. That's not a good time to make a decision, because if you do, you're probably going to make the wrong one. Because let's face it, that guy you married is not perfect. The woman you married is not perfect. And the marriage vows says, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, until what? Death do us part. And some folks die early. So you got to hang in there. But it's up to you to make the decision. I would never advise anybody that had been abused by their husband to just keep on being abused. I wouldn't do that, no. You don't, and God doesn't expect you to do that. These women who are coming forward now, some said, well, this woman, if you look at MSNBC a few nights ago on the Lawrence O'Donnell show, I think, this woman, she wrote a poem. You know, she said, you know, after her husband beat her up, I'm paraphrasing, my husband beat me up, then he apologized, so I stayed. One thing said, my husband did something else on me, we had a child, so I stayed. All of those things said, so I stayed, because certain things happen. But took that abuse for years, but she gave every reason why she stayed when most folks would not have stayed, and it was not a good relationship. So there's certain things you just don't, you know, don't let anybody beat up on you every day, breakfast, dinner, and supper. No, it's time to say, see you later, brother. I'll see you later. Or some wives beat their husbands. It works both ways. That happens. But we're talking about things that's going to happen in your marriage that'll come up, that could be a crisis. Because let's for example, you can have a crisis arise. Let's say husband and wife both are working, and the husband gets a promotion that's going to take him 2,000 miles away. And you gotta move, and you got a good job, you don't want to leave your job. What do? You know, that could cause a big conflict. That, well, I know we gotta get a few more dollars, but there's something worth more than money. To me, your relationship is worth more than money. I will not make my move based upon how much money I'm gonna make. Husband got a good job, you have a good job, but now that job is calling him away, and he gonna make a whole lot more money. And you said, I love my job, and that can cause a big conflict in your relationship. But you have to understand, when you go into that, these things are going to happen. Because sometimes not only your job, but most folks when they're married, they stay pretty close to where our family is. And sometimes your job gonna take it where you have no family. And that's not an easy decision, but he said, look, prepare yourself. Confront and master the inevitable. It's gonna happen. That's gonna happen. So keep that in mind. We're trying to keep the marriage together. Okay, number six. Maintain the strength of the marital bond in the face of adversity. the marriage should be a safe haven in which partners are able to express their differences, anger, and conflict. Boy, that's a biggie. Listen, I don't care what goes on the job or wherever you are. Home should be a safe haven. I mean, that should be the place, no matter what the folks did to you, that you can come home and you know you're safe and you're not going to be abused. But that doesn't happen. Sometimes they're having trouble on the job and come home and have the same trouble. No, we got to maintain strength. At home in your marriage, listen, marriage should be a safe haven which partners are able to express their differences. That's a biggie. You know, you're not going to always agree. So we should be able to let our partner express their opinion. You know, if maybe you want to do this and she doesn't want to do this, you know, that happens. That happens in every marriage. One might say, "I want to do this," or say, "Let's think about it. Let's do it. Why should I wait? Yeah, we got to strike while the iron is hot." No, don't rush. Give your wife or your husband an opinion, because in the multitude of counsel, what? There is strength. Bishop, the thing that you said, in the multitude of counsel, there's strength. So listen to what your wife has to say. Listen to what husband has to say. Give your spouse a chance to express their differences. Give them a chance to be angry. You know, so, you know, because sometimes you do stuff to make them angry. Sometimes when you're somebody. I don't think a husband or wife, even one, got angry at them just because they ain't get angry at themselves. It's usually something you did to stir the anger. I don't think anybody just up in the middle of the night, I'm just mad. No, it's something you did. And recognize that and respect their right to be angry. And that's a hard thing to do, give other person the right. And conflict. Give another person the mic, please. You can keep it. So you know, you got to recognize that.
I was thinking on that. The difference is, I believe that when a person, when the relationship is unequally yoked, that portion is magnified, because you really have some really big differences.
Absolutely, I agree with Dr. Purse 100%. When you're unequally yoked, and we had a scripture the other day about be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, and that you know, when your the belief system is different, your faith is different, it is definitely magnified a great deal. So that's one of the reasons the Bible warns us, don't be unequally yoked. Because when you do that, you're starting out on two left feet. So you got to make sure that you do that. But you got to recognize, my husband is different, my wife is different. We're two different people. Even though the Bible said you more twain but one, but he doesn't mean that you weren't a woman and you weren't a man. But he said you're sticking together. You're going to agree with each other. You're going to help each other.
Remember you were talking about the athlete that beat his wife up in the elevator? Mm-hmm. Well, the Bible says you're no more two, you're one. Mm-hmm. So he actually beat himself up too.
That's right. That's a good point, D. Absolutely. Amen. And that because that's flesh of Job said, not Job, but Adam said, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. But, you know, really what we, since we're on that topic about conflict between husband and wife and get angry at each other, then end up in a fight, sometimes the husband gets so mad he knock a hole in the wall. Now you gotta pay for it. That's stupid. Or the husband throw the plate at him and break a plate. You gotta buy another plate. but I respect that right to be angry, but when I'm talking to somebody, I said, no, don't break up your china, please. Don't knock a hole in your wall, bro. You're going to have to repay. You're going to have to pay it, get it fixed. But sometimes you can get so angry, so upset. But even through that, you got to work through it, because I know a couple who give that testimony, and the wife said her big thing was throwing plates. Didn't have two quarters to rub together. But you're breaking up that place, throwing it because you got mad at the husband. But that happens. But even through that, you got to learn how to work through that kind of a thing. Don't think everything, because honeymoon don't last always. Honeymoon is, and the real you shows up. Where the rubber meets the road. It's a different situation. So, deal with conflict and anger. Now, use humor and laughter to keep things in perspective and avoid boredom and isolation. Isolation. So, laugh a little bit, or humor. Some husbands don't have a sense of humor. Some wives we have a sense of humor, but you can still do little things that to keep it. In other words, lighten up. Sometimes you got to just lighten up. You can't always be real serious. Sometimes you got to just lighten up a little bit, I guess all of us probably can improve in that area. Because sometimes we don't laugh a lot. We get more comedy off TV than any in the room. But they're saying, just lighten up, have a little fun, talking to each other and laughing together, and avoid boredom, and isolation. And we need to work on that. And my wife said, amen. Isolation. You go back in your room and you back there on the computer for 2 or 3 hours. That happens. You got stuff to do. And your husband, your wife is isolated. Maybe you ought to take a break once in a while. Come on, hey, honey, how you doing? Amen. Amen. That happens. So we have to be real about it. That's where the isolation comes in. You're on one side of the house and your wife's on the other side of the house. That happens. Are you downstairs and the babes are watching TV? She's upstairs watching TV. That's isolation. That happens. And not only does it happen, it's common. Guy's downstairs, he likes to watch football. Wife don't watch football. So he's going to go downstairs in the basement and watch football and basketball. Then that's called isolation. So spending time together is what they're saying is a good idea. Okay, we're talking about the 9 psychological reasons, things to do to keep a good marriage. Nurture and comfort each other. Satisfying each partner's need for dependence and offering continuing encouragement. Break it up then, it shouldn't be broken. Offering continuing encouragement and support. I guess all of us, especially the men, sometimes they don't they sometimes don't say, honey, you did a good job. Honey, I'm telling you, that meal you cook is out of sight. I love that cooking. Amen. Huh? Amen. I mean, we just sit down and eat. but in reality, what they're saying, they encourage each other. You know, say, look, honey, and show support for them. Sometimes the husband says, I want to do certain things. Oh, you don't need to do that. Oh, you don't need to do that. Doing too much now. I mean, it's such a joke.
When you mentioned encourage and support one another, it reminded me of my father. As a girl growing up, my dad would, he worked long hours, and a mom would cook for all of us, five in our family. And we'd sit down and eat, and he had the most food and all of that. And when he'd finish eating, and he would be tired and hungry, and he'd sit down and, you know, eat quickly. And when he finished, he said, thank the Lord and bless the cook. And it meant a lot to my mother. It meant a lot to us as kids to hear our father verbally express appreciation for my mother's labor. You know, back in the day, cooking a meal, you didn't just go get that was before the frozen food time. So and my sister and I talk about it still. And she says, I wish my husband would do that. And just, it's a small thing, but it shows appreciation for the labor of love that women put into preparing meals for their family.
Amen. That is so true. Amen. You know, that might seem trivial to some folks, but to that wife or that mother, that touched her beyond what you can even think. And sometimes we can learn from that, all of us. You know, all of us can do, whether you're the husband or the wife, all of us can do more in encouraging each other. You know, sometimes we just don't say anything. We just go on like if nothing happened. But I'm telling you, a little thank you, a little peck on the cheek, and, that's honey, I love you, whore. You're just a wonderful, wonderful wife, a wonderful husband. You know, it doesn't have to be no great big thing. You don't have to bring flowers every day. Bring yourself every day, and bring, because you're there every day. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's a pretty big deal there, really. That's a pretty big deal. I'm telling you, I would admit that I need to come up in that area. I mean, I'm being open and honest. You know, I mean, I can do better. And sometimes we just don't. Sometimes it's easy to take things for granted, especially when you've been married a long time. You know, so when you first realize, but everything she did, honey. Way down the road, the honey disappears for some reason. Amen. But these are the things that remind us you got to keep it up. And that's what this one is talking about. Now, this is a biggie. Number 9, the last one. Keep alive the early romantic idealized images falling in love while facing the sober reality the changes wrought by time. But it said, when you first met, boy, it was sparks flying everywhere. So they said, you need to remember that and remember what caused those sparks to fly. Don't let the fire go out. You know, it used to be when you had a fire burning real heavy and it goes out, you go, throw some wood timber and get that fire going again. But then that's what they're saying. Remember how it used to be early when you were falling in love. and realize, you know, we're not as young as we used to be. Time, Father Time has worked on all of us, but we're still husband and wife. Amen. What it took to get you together, it's going to take to keep you together. And sometimes we as husbands and we as wives don't realize that. It happens to just about everybody. You know, used to be, you know, born when you first got married, you would not let your wife get in that car until you walked around there and opened that door. Then you let her in, then you close the door. But now you drive off before she gets in. Praise God. I mean, we did all those kinds of things, you know. So, you know, what this marriage class is all about, marriage and divorce class is all about, you know, we learn, we need to take a look at what we are really doing. And of all these 9 things that they say is good for us to keep a good marriage together, what area am I weak in? I need to come up in it. And I know myself, and you know yourself, man or wife, either one, either spouse knows what they are. So time, I mean, really, I told you the other day that I keep wanting to call Adam Job. Adam lived 930 years. So he and Sister Adam, Sister Eve, they were married over 900 years, and they never divorced. Now, they married 900-some years. We ought to be able to stay married 50, 60 years. Easy. And even though Adam was given that piece of forbidden fruit, whatever it was, and caused them to be kicked out of the garden, nowhere in the scripture did, except when the Lord confronted Adam, did he rat on Eve. When God said, why did you do what I told you? He said, well, that woman you gave me. That's the only time you see what he said. But otherwise, he didn't blame her. He didn't divorce her because he got kicked out of the garden. He didn't say, I'm out here sweating. What you do that for? Now, look, we had it made, and look what you did. He didn't say that. He stayed with her another 900-some years. Lord have mercy. So that's our example, to stay married. It's not God's desire. God hates divorce. But we're living in a society now. Reality is reality. But I think, okay, it's 8 o'clock already. Go ahead, Deacon.
I remember earlier you were teaching, you know, I think around the third or fourth, you're talking about the Bible was saying that men shall leave father and thy mother and cleave to thy wife. Mm-hmm. Then that's where you become one, because you can't become one if you separate.
Yep, you can't one, yeah, absolutely. If you separate, you can't become one. Absolutely. Cleave to as long as you both shall live. And God specifically said that God set up the first marriage, and he has not changed his plan, because God doesn't have to go back and change, because whatever he does is perfect. What he set up, look in the perfect law of liberty, and that's what God has set up. But, you know, God gave man a free will to make his choices. But when you go against what the Lord says, you know, you don't have a better plan than God has. We might think we do, but your plan is not better than God's. Your plan is based on your mentality, which is limited. But God made a perfect plan. But thank God that he's a merciful God. But if we learn what we ought to be doing and do them, things will work out better. Amen. I think Brother Aaron had his hand up.
Being faithful, coming to church, and for we shouldn't fail not. You know, I was talking to Mother Jones one time, and I had said that when I couldn't get to church, or I didn't make myself come to church as far as willing myself to church, and then I said, what the devil wanting to do next? Is he trying to keep me from paying season, what season God's God's, and, you know, fell into a symbol and being instant in season? But I've heard you teach that it's people that's in church and not really, they're at church and not in the church. And if I really realize what my teaching, God is putting in my heart to love your wife as the church, you know, it's hard to get wives outside of church, especially if they're Philistines or Samaritans or whoever God may send your way. Love is there, you know. But I think about how you say that, you know, I thank God for your Mother Jones, but I thank God that held on to that saying. You love, you know, you got to be in church and make yourself willed to the will of God. And that it's kind of like giving into marriage. You, as people that are married, but they just giving into marriage, not really wanting to be totally committed to that union.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Aaron. Praise God. Good remark. God bless you. Appreciate that. Amen. And with that, we're going to end on that note. Amen. Pick up next week and see what the Lord has in store for us as we, amen, go on into this topic of marriage versus divorce. And we know what God says. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to do what thus saith the Lord. God bless you.